Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Good evening. It is 9 after the hour, and I'm Eric Erickson. This is WSB. The phone number 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. He's killing Big Bird. I mean, he wants to mount Big Bird's head on the wall. At least that's the hyperbole that we're hearing from the left today. President Trump has released his budget. Now, for those of you who don't understand how this process works, for a new president, when a new president comes in, he issues essentially what is they refer to as a skinny budget plan when he initially comes in. And the main reason is because, well, he's brand new and he's got to get his sea legs. He's got to assess the government, figure out the changes he wants to make. And so they release a preliminary budget outline, and then a few months later they come back with a more detailed outline of things they want. Now, the left is apoplectic. Of course they would be. They're apoplectic. If the man breathes, they're outraged. If the man yawns, a Starbucks goes up in flames by anarchists. If he tweets, Black Lives Matters throw flaming dumpsters of trash on interstates to shut down rush hour. It doesn't matter what the man does, there's going to be outrage. Well, his budget increases defense spending. And he wants to privatize the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Now, I got to back up here because, you know, I actually, before I came on yesterday, I did a short interview with NPR. I don't have a problem with NPR. In most places in this country, in most cities in this country, regardless of size, the NPR radio station tends to be one of the most popular radio stations. Not that we even acknowledge that other radio stations exist in Atlanta, but outside of Atlanta, where there are other radio stations, it tends to do quite well. And let's get over this killing Big Bird garbage. PBS sold the rights to Big Bird to HBO, which is a for-profit enterprise on limited cable. Now, the left would have you believe that we've got to have PBS so that poor kids who don't have access to cable television can still get a decent education thanks to a bunch of stuffed creatures with human hands up their rectums. That's what they actually want to argue, is that we got to have access to Sesame Street so that kids can get a real education who don't have access to the quality programming on cable TV. And yet they sold Big Bird and Sesame Street first run rights to HBO. Why do they need taxpayer dollars when they're in negotiations with and licensing agreements with HBO? Not to mention the licensing royalties every time they tickle an Elmo. And then, of course, there's Meals on Wheels. President Trump would like to stop the program. He's starving the old people. How dare he? He's not. He just doesn't think that we need to be duplicating services. Listen, I think this is a conservative budget. It's a good first step. He needs to do entitlement reform. And there absolutely needs to be entitlement reform. There needs to be a scaling down of government. But for all the liberals out there who think he's making these draconian cuts, I want to give you some real perspective here. President Obama's budget plan for 2018 was $1.4 trillion. $1.14 trillion. President Trump's $1.15 trillion. That's right. He's spending $10 billion more than what President Obama wanted to spend. That's right. He's spending more than Obama by $10 billion. And apparently now it's draconian cuts, as opposed to the left hailing President Obama's budget. Talk about a double standard. So let me give you kind of a breakdown. There are 18 federal agencies and programs that the president wants ended. It would save roughly $3 trillion. And in saving the roughly $3 billion, and in saving the $3 billion, he wants to redirect that money to the Defense Department and Homeland Security and the Department of Energy for increases of about $52 billion to the National Security budget. Is not all to the Department of Defense, this increase in money. The national security spending in the country, national defense spending as it's classified, is spread out over three departments: the Department of Energy, the Department of Homeland Security, and the Department of Defense. The Department of Defense obviously has the largest budget allocation for national defense spending, but the Department of Energy maintains the nuclear program. The Department of Homeland Security obviously does border security and whatnot and bits of intelligence there as well. So the president would scrap the U.S. Interagency Council on Homelessness. That's $4 million. The Northern Border Regional Commission, $8 million. The Woodrow Wilson International Center for Scholars, $11 million. The Chemical Safety Board, $11 million. The Denali Commission. We're spending $20 million on the Denali Commission. And the Inter-American Foundation, $22 million. The Delta Regional Authority, $22 million. The African Development Foundation, $30 million. The U.S. Institute of Peace, which has probably the most expensive, nicest building in Washington, paid for mostly by tax dollars, get rid of their $35 million budget. The U.S. Trade and Development Agency, $60 million. Overseas Private Investment Corporation, $83 million. The Appalachian Regional Commission, $146 million. The National Endowment for the Arts, $148 million saved. The National Endowment for the Humanities, $148 million. How dare he? The Neighborhood Reinvestment Corporation, $175 million. The Institute for Museum and Library Services, I don't even know what that is. $230 million. The Legal Services Corporation, $385 million. Corporation for Public Broadcasting, $445 million. And the Corporation for National and Community Service, that would be Bill Clinton's AmeriCorps program. He wants to save $1.1 billion by scrapping it for a total savings of $3.081 billion. There's your list. And you know what the secular left is saying about this budget? That it is against Christianity. No, I'm not actually making that out. This is a talking point that's circulating on social media today from the left, that how can Christians support this budget? They should all denounce it, that this is a very anti-Christian budget because they're cutting Meals on Wheels. And how can we cut programs to help the poor? Because, you know, the Bible says that we got to help the poor, the widows, the orphans, the poor, the refugees. We got to help them. And this is an anti-Christian budget by people who think the cake maker needs to bake the cake for the same-sex wedding, you bigot. This is an anti-Christian budget. How dare he? We want separation of state and church, except when it comes to the budget, apparently. But don't give churches any money. Let's let the government take on the church's role. There's nothing anti-biblical or anti-Christian about this budget. The fact that the left is throwing this out there shows they don't really have an argument. You know, the Bible says that individuals are supposed to take care of the poor, the widows, the orphans, and the refugees, not the federal government. And in fact, individuals and churches have largely abdicated their responsibility to the federal government, which does a worse job than the nonprofits who are engaged in this area. If the federal government got out of it and freed up the money, the nonprofits could stand up and actually do a really good job without government interference. But right now, the government is more of a hindrance in actually helping the poor than nonprofits are. You know, we didn't have as many poor people before the war on poverty. Spread out across the country. But, you know, the left thinks any cut except to the Defense Department is war on the poor. Sometimes you got to shake up the status quo to change things up to get better results to help the poor. But the left doesn't want to do that because it would prove that you don't need bigger government to help the poor. It is 25 after the hour. The phone number 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Have you guys heard about what happened to McDonald's today? Now, they're claiming that their Twitter account was hacked, not that it was an intern. And they tweeted this morning at 6:16 a.m. To President Trump, saying, "You are actually a disgusting excuse of a president, and we would love to have Barack Obama back. Also, you have tiny hands." Now, I saw that this morning, and I just assumed that the jobless rate had increased, or the unemployment rate had increased by one intern. But McDonald's is saying that its Twitter account was hacked. And then if I'm reading it right, I don't think it was photoshopped. Someone else came back in later and said, "We're saying our account was hacked, but we actually mean it. You have tiny hands," and then ended it with "Hail Hydra." Now, someone might have photoshopped that one. Just full disclosure there. I thought that was very funny, though, with the Hail Hydra at the end from Captain America. But, yes, this was an actual tweet sent from the McDonald's account this morning, retweeted almost 400 times before it mysteriously disappeared. "At Real Donald Trump, you were actually a disgusting excuse of a president, and we would love to have Barack Obama back. Also, you have tiny hands." Yeah, there were a wave of prominent accounts that were hijacked overnight and today. You know, I had to turn on two-step verification for pretty much everything on the internet now, because I was getting pinged by services, Google, Twitter, Instagram, and elsewhere, that people were trying to get in my account from either unknown IP addresses or from IP addresses that were registered abroad. And of course, this was all happening during the time of the election and everything going on then, and I had to turn on the two-step verification process, where I've got to have my cell phone in front of me when I try to log into an account, and it texts me random digits that I have to put in to log in, and it's very cumbersome, very difficult now with my assistant to be able to get it in check emails and stuff as well, but it's just necessary this day and age. Corporations have no excuse for it, given their target. When we come back, can we spend a few minutes pondering how worthless Chelsea Clinton is? Thirty-nine after the hour now. This is WSB, if you haven't figured that out, and we don't even need to check radar because it's just gorgeous outside. How are you liking the time change? Getting into the time change is just an awful, awful thing, but I like having the afternoons. See, and the problem, though, is that this is daylight saving time, and what we were in was regular time, and I just think we should stay in daylight saving time. I mean, I'm okay getting up when it's slightly dark in the morning, because I got to do that for TV. I'm on Fox and Friends in the morning. I was going to be at 6:15. Now it's going to be at 7:15 in the morning, and I'm used to getting up when it's dark and going to bed when the sun's almost up. So, I mean, I just don't sleep in any event. I would like it to stay here. Now, I want to move on, to this Chelsea Clinton story. And I mentioned this a little bit yesterday, but she's got a book coming out. The book is She Persisted or whatever. You know, the little slogan that Mitch McConnell said about Betsy DeVos and the left picked it up as some sort of slogan. Yes, She Persisted. 13 American Women Who Changed the World, written by Chelsea Clinton. Really? Isn't it nice to know that you can still get ahead in America when only one of your parents is elected president of the United States and your husband is a hedge fund manager? It's nice to know that you can still succeed in life when that's your situation. You know, so she's been in the news lately. She's been tweeting aggressively about Donald Trump. She's been making bold statements on public policy and whatnot, and many people have speculated she's getting ready to run for office, because, you know, we can't exist in a world where a Clinton is not on a ballot somewhere. I don't think that's it, though. I think she's trying to sell this book. Because I got on Amazon and looked earlier. In fact, let me pull this back up on my phone right here, real quick. I looked earlier, and she has written books in the past. Let's see. Chelsea Clinton. Wow. Some of the things that come up when you put a Clinton in on Amazon. So she released It's Your World, Get Informed, Get Inspired, and Get Going for Kids. Then she also, with someone else, released Governing Global Health. Yes. Now, it's listed as by her and then Devi Sridhar. I have no idea how you pronounce that name, but you and I both know it was the other person who wrote the book. So now she's got this, and my suspicion here is that Chelsea Clinton isn't doing a good job of selling books. I mean, people are kind of tired of the Clintons, let's be honest here, because they won't admit it publicly. But privately, Democrats admit Hillary Clinton was a terrible candidate, and they're upset with her for Donald Trump getting elected. She did have something to do with it. So my suspicion is that it's not Hillary Clinton trying to run for president or anything. She's making all these bold policy statements and attacks on Donald Trump and whatnot because she needs people to buy her book. She needs to be someone. She needs to be outside of the shadow of her parents, but still trading on her last name. I mean, let's just be honest here. If it was Chelsea Smith writing this book, do you really think it would sell well? If it was Jack Clinton, do you really think it would sell well? Okay, it's a book for girls, so Sheila Clinton. Do you really think this book would sell well? No. It's selling because of her name, Chelsea Clinton. She's a Clinton. But I'm guessing that her prior books haven't sold as well as publishers expected them to with a name like Chelsea Clinton. So now she's having to boost her profile out of the shadow of her parents. And she's doing it politically because she wants good liberals to buy this book. She couldn't care less if a conservative bought this. This is a book for liberals who want to indoctrinate their liberal children, profiling 13 American women who changed the world. In fact, even in the promo, so let me read you. Tell me this is just for liberals. Throughout American history, there have been women who have spoken out for what's right, even when they have to fight to be heard. In early 2017, Senator Elizabeth Warren's refusal to be silenced in the Senate inspired a spontaneous celebration of women who persevered in the face of adversity. That's right. It was Mitch McConnell who complaining about Elizabeth Warren that she persisted in reading that letter about Jeff Sessions or whatnot. Yeah. In this book, Chelsea Clinton celebrates 13 American women who helped shape our country through their tenacity, sometimes through speaking out, sometimes by staying seated, and sometimes by captivating an audience. They all certainly persisted. Now, I know something about book publishing because I am in the middle of writing a book. She's highlighting 13 American women in a book called She Persisted that was inspired by the McConnell statement about Elizabeth Warren that happened in January, the end of January, beginning of February. There's no way that this book was turned around that quick and ready for publication. There is absolutely no way. I mean, this is all a branding and marketing campaign. You cannot turn around a book that fast with illustrations. This is an illustrated book. Someone hand drew and painted and sketched out these things. There's no way. It comes out May 30th. That is the quickest turnaround for a book ever. No, this was already in the works. They changed the branding on it at the last minute, I guarantee you. And then they decided to, since they're going to tie it directly to politics to try to get it to sell, they've got her out there running this PR campaign on Twitter, bashing the president to get in good with little liberals because they know the mind-numbed automatons of the left are going to go out and buy a book, the little lemmings that they are, and they'll buy Chelsea's book. And then maybe her 15 minutes will expire. This Chelsea Clinton thing, still, I'm just amazed by the people on the left. All she had to do was say she persisted, and suddenly it's the hallelujah chorus. Suddenly it's the greatest thing ever. I mean, how easy. It's like yesterday, you know, yesterday, the BuzzFeed story that a liberal activist paid $9,000 for documents that showed ExxonMobil had paid off the Trump Organization to ensure that Rex Tillerson would become Secretary of State. They funneled the money through a Chinese corporation, a shell corporation, that then wrote the check to the Trump Organization. They had the wire transfers. They had the documents. They had evidence that Rex Tillerson had been meeting with the Russian President Vladimir Putin when it all happened, showing that the Russians were clearly involved in the decision-making process to have Rex Tillerson be there. And it was all forged. The documents were fake. The story was fake. Everything about it was fake. But the left believed it because they wanted to believe it. They wanted to believe that Mitch McConnell was that, or not Mitch McConnell, Donald Trump was that bad. Mitch McConnell really is that bad. Donald Trump, not so much from the perception of the left. I mean, they had to believe all of the stuff about him. And so they were easy to be hoodwinked. They could be conned. That's what Chelsea Clinton seems to be doing. She's conning the left. She can spit out a book. At the very last minute, they can change the title. I'm just guessing that happened. They can change it all. They can make it she persisted. She can get on Twitter. She can be political. She can bash the president. She can bash Republicans, attack conservatives. And then guess what? You'll buy the book. That's just, I mean, par for the course. Now, when we come back, I want to shift gears a little bit. The Rachel Maddow meltdown, blaming her audience for her own goofiness. And, well, more on the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. The left is just apoplectic that they're going to kill Big Bird. Eric Erickson here, Atlanta's Evening News, WSB, it's 609, the phone number, would you like it, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK, and as always, you can text WSB, those letters, without any spaces, WSB, to 444-999, get the daily email from the show. I got to shift gears here before I go anywhere else. A buddy of mine just sent me this story. Apparently, in Donald Trump's America, gay men can't kiss in public. That's what people are taking away, that it has become a homophobic time in America. It's just become a hateful, repressive time. So a gay couple were at a pizza restaurant in Cincinnati. And before entering a pizza restaurant, they kissed. And a bouncer, what sort of pizza restaurant has a bouncer? A bouncer, they're describing him, said, "You guys need to stop or you're going to get kicked out." And then said, "You better get used to this. This is Trump's America." Now, that's the way the story is presented. It is a dark, homophobic time in America. What would you say if I told you that the bouncer got fired for doing that and the restaurant apologized? That kind of changes the story, does it not? The bouncer got fired. What pizza restaurant has a bouncer? What sort of establishment is this? Yeah, the best kind. Come on, really? I mean, the story has been, what a try. The guy got fired for doing it. What more do you want? Free pizza for the rest of your life? Meanwhile, Charlie sent me this one. The LGBTQTQXYZABC community. I still think for branding purposes, it should be the BLT and G community, because who doesn't love a BLT? The BLT and G community is offending social justice warriors because they're having the Pride event in London, and the slogan for the Pride event in London is "Love Happens Here." Why is that offensive? Well, according to social justice warriors, love presumes you are in a relationship, and it is exclusionary bigotry to embrace the concept of love at these events, because it says to some, you can't participate because you're not in love. Y'all, I swear to you, the world is being overrun with crazy people. There is a deep mental health problem pervasive around the world. It's like these liberals upset with me today for saying that the president has a good budget, but they're defunding Meals on Wheels. So I must hate Jesus because I support defunding Meals on Wheels. How dare I'm a terrible Christian, apparently. Leave it to the left that doesn't even believe in Jesus to think that my salvation is tied to supporting a government program. Absolutely crazy. Mental health, it just is a topic we should spend more time on. These people are crazy. They need help. Now, I have been asked to explain what the federal judge did in Hawaii. He has put a hold on Donald Trump's... Now, by the way, I need to stop here and say there's been a rumor circulating on the internet that President Obama paid a visit to the judge prior to the judge halting Donald Trump's immigration order. It is not true. Please don't get in the fever swamp and believe this. Please don't. The president did not visit the judge and ask him to put a hold on this. How do I know? Because the president was in Hawaii before the lawsuit was filed. The lawsuits are randomly assigned by a computer to various judges. So you would have to think that the president knew the future in order to know which judge to talk to about a lawsuit that had not even been filed in Hawaii yet, when most people thought it was going to be filed in Washington State. Please don't dive into the fever swamp. But I remembered a song that can help us explain what happened in Hawaii. Some of you will remember this song. We won't play all of it, but just listen. Yes, it's kind of like a circus. Schoolhouse Rock is the best. Come on. It is the best. This is like a circus. I mean, we knew that a liberal judge would do this without any basis. You know what the judge's legal reasoning is? Donald Trump's campaign promises. That is his legal reasoning. That Donald Trump on the campaign trail said it was going to be a Muslim ban, and therefore we must presume it's a Muslim ban. But remember, on the campaign trail, Barack Obama said that Obamacare would not be a tax. The Supreme Court didn't believe his campaign promise. The Supreme Court said it was a tax. Now, you cannot hold, in fact, this is a well-established legal doctrine. You can't hold a politician accountable for the promises of a candidate, even when he was the candidate, because he was unelected at the time. But they're doing this because some of these judges don't view themselves as neutral arbiters of the law. They view themselves as the resistance. And see, what happens here is it just further breaks down the judicial system. Congress has the power of the purse over the judiciary. Congress could go to war with these people. Congress could stop the abuse, but Congress doesn't want to do it. Congress doesn't want to do it because Congress wants to abdicate its responsibility. Congress wants nothing to do with toning down the judiciary, taming the judiciary, because they're okay with the judiciary doing this. They're totally okay with it. They huff and they puff and they pound their chest on camera, but the reality is your average member of Congress is totally okay with the judiciary being the most powerful branch in government. It's not three equal branches anymore. It is an oligarchy. Our black-robed, life-tenured masters can tell us how we can get married, how we can eat, who can come in and out of the country. Never mind, it's not in their power to do that. They can do it because they've said so, and no one in Congress has the guts to stand up and fight them. Welcome back. It's Eric Erickson here. It is 6:26, and wow. A buddy of mine sent me this website. I'll put it on Twitter. In fact, I'll put it on Twitter right now. The tweet is Terrible Real Estate Agent Photos. The website is terriblerealestateagentphotos.com. Don't do this while you're driving, please. Doug Turnbull would have a coronary. He whiz down to where I am broadcasting and chop off my head with the rotor blades of the helicopter if you go look at this while you're driving. But when you get home, terriblerealestateagentphotos.com. These are some really hideous, awful photos. It reminds me, so there's a house in Atlanta. I was looking at it at one point. I got a wild hair, was thinking, you know, it would be nice to have just a crash pad in the city. And was flipping through, and this was a house. I saw it, and the house was just a beautiful house in Buckhead. Beautiful house off of West Paces. And you're scrolling through these pictures, and it's just a beautiful room, another beautiful room, beautiful bathroom, beautiful kitchen. And then suddenly, 20 pictures in, you get to this room, and there are animal heads all over the wall. I mean, you name the animal, its head was probably on the wall. I couldn't take my eye off of it. It was like a camouflage theme in a hunting room with animal heads everywhere. I mean, it just, I have no idea what anybody was thinking about when they designed that room. Okay. When we come back, Jamie Dupree sent me some audio from Washington. I got to play for you. Walter Jones from North Carolina, member of Congress, on why he's not voting for the health care plan. And I hear the Republican health care plan is in trouble. In fact, I was told that in a meeting today, they were yelling about me. A certain person was yelling about me in the meeting because I had an op-ed in the New York Times. Of all things, the New York Times asked me to put in an op-ed, and it was of why conservatives are opposed to it, trying to explain to their liberal readers why conservatives wouldn't like this plan. And they were complaining about me today, which is fine. But this Jones audio is fantastic when we come back, and I should give you the state of play on what's happening with the Obamacare reform plan, Swamp Care, when we come back. There's a lot of developments happening on it. It is 6:39. The phone number 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. I want to get to your phone calls here in just a minute. But I got to play this audio from Walter Jones. He is Congressman from North Carolina. The Obamacare plan is Obamacare 2.0, Swamp Care, Obamacare Light, however you want to call the Republicans' plan, running into all sorts of problems on Capitol Hill, including Speaker Ryan now acknowledging it's probably not going to pass in its current form, although it could still pass with amendments. This is Walter. Walter's always good for a soundbite.
I think if St. Peter called and said, you need to vote for this bill if you want to get to heaven, I said, St. Peter, I can't do it. I think the people understand that when you jam any type of legislation through, you don't understand the unintended consequences to months later. And there would be unintended consequences. And I don't think they can get it passed right now.
Yeah. I don't think they can get it passed right now. And even if they could get it passed in the House, they can't get it passed in the Senate. They can't. They don't have the votes. It's a bad bill. And I have already explained to you, I mean, you guys already know essentially what my op-ed in the New York Times is for today, explaining the conservative opposition. The Republicans decided to focus on ensuring as many people as possible have access to government-run health care, as opposed to ensuring that health care is as cheap as possible in this country so that people can buy it for themselves. I mean, that's kind of like, not to get on a broken record here, but this defunding of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and Meals on Wheels that has the left outraged. You know, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting financially is doing very well. And they've got enough money now in licenses and royalties and selling Big Bird to HBO and whatnot that they don't really need government money. Government money isn't a significant part of their budget anymore. And you know there are people out there, if they stayed nonprofit, there are people out there who to this day would still give them money and take a tax write-off. If they sold ad blocks, you could have corporations taking tax write-offs for giving them money. It's not like if the government stops funding the Corporation for Public Broadcasting that PBS and NPR are going off the radio. Nothing would happen to them. In fact, they would probably do a lot better in the private sector and have a little competition. I have a lot of people who tell me all the time that we listen to you, but we listen to NPR. We wish you sounded more like NPR. They just happen to like me and listen. They'd like the smooth, dulcet tones of NPR, where we say things that are to the left but don't sound like they're to the left, because we have the melodious, bouncy tone of the NPR anchor. Like yesterday, when I was on NPR, I had several people note that my tone of voice on NPR is somewhat different from my tone of voice on the radio on my own show, because one is on NPR where I'm the person being interviewed, and the other is when I'm the host, and even the hosts on NPR have a very melodious, unoffensive tone. Really? I mean, you know the NPR voice. It's stereotyped on Saturday Night Live. They would do just fine. I mean, we are paying government subsidies so adult men can shove their hands up the rectums of puppets. And they're going to HBO anyway. If you can't make money in the 21st century in America being deviant to a stuffed animal, I don't know how you're ever going to make money. And that's essentially what they're doing. And then Meals on Wheels, as if the Lord Jesus demands that you support a government program. You know, the Bible is very accurate that we gotta, Christians have an obligation to take care of widows, orphans, refugees, and the poor. One of the chief indictments against the northern and southern kingdoms in the Old Testament was that. That was one of the chief indictments of Jesus against the Pharisees, that they didn't take care of women, orphans, the poor, the refugee. But it's a personal obligation. We're not supposed to abdicate that obligation to government. And the liberals who don't even believe in Jesus are melting down over conservatives who don't support Meals on Wheels, saying that must be anti-Christian. Why? Because I think that individuals and churches should step up and do it themselves as opposed to relying on the federal government, which is not nearly as efficient as nonprofits and individuals doing it. I want efficiency. I want to help more poor people. And the government is incapable of doing it. Why can't we redo the budget? You know, one of the chief lessons to be learned from the November election was that a lot of people are fed up with the status quo. They are fed up with Washington as it exists. They don't believe Washington as it exists works. So the President of the United States, who was elected to shake up the status quo, gives a budget that shakes up the status quo to Congress. And despite, listen, the left is going to complain about everything Donald Trump does. Everything Donald Trump does. If he yawns, if he sneezes, if he blinks, if he breathes, if he tweets, if he doesn't tweet, they're going to complain. It doesn't matter. But it is really surprising to see supposedly fiscally responsible Republicans being the ones announcing that his budget is dead on arrival in Congress. They should be upset that the president isn't going further. In fact, my conservative friends are upset that he's not going further with entitlement reform and whatnot. And I'm led to believe that he's getting to that. There are two phases of a first-year budget for president. This is the skinny budget. They'll prepare a fuller plan later. I'm led to believe that his congressional or office management budget is pushing him on entitlement reform, recognizing they got to do it to balance the budget. But the fact that you got Republicans saying, oh, we can't cut the budget of the State Department. No, we can't cut the EPA. I mean, you would think that the left would be delighted to have the EPA budget cut for 4 years so that Scott Pruitt can't screw things up. But nope, they want Scott Pruitt to have as much money as possible to wreak as much havoc as possible as the EPA, the head of the EPA. You cannot win with these people. I say cut all the government programs to the board. Scrap the social safety net as much as possible, except for people who have flat-out mental and physical disabilities where they can't do anything. And that would force individuals, private charities, and churches to step up in local communities. And the more dependence you have on local communities, the more stability you have in local communities. It is not a coincidence that social stability has gone to hell in a handbasket since the government at the federal level stepped up to do all the charitable things churches and local governments used to do. Nobody has to rely on their next door neighbor anymore because they got Uncle Sam's teat they can suck on. We should get rid of it. I have been sitting here in commercial break reading the most fascinating story I've read this week. I'll put it on Twitter. If you don't follow me on Twitter, you can go to EW Erickson on Twitter. It is the Operation London Bridge. Have you ever seen, The Crown or what have you on Netflix? It's a great series about Elizabeth II when she became queen and when her father died because they didn't want the switchboard operators at Buckingham Palace to hear the news and start running to the newspapers before Winston Churchill knew. They said Hyde Park 2 or something like that. Well, it's going to be London Bridges down when the Queen dies, and the elaborate preparations getting ready even now for it. Just amazing. I'll put this out on Twitter. You guys have a great night. I will be back with you tomorrow.